Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church, and I'm pleased to share with you some exciting information. On June the 9th, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning, we will gather together in the main auditorium of the Bethel Deliverance International Church to share in the exciting topic, the making of a minister. Yes, you see, I realize God has called you into ministry. You feel a pull into this great work, but let's be honest. Being a minister for God is pretty much like being a parent for the first time. You know what you'd like to do, but it doesn't always happen the way you think. What we would like to do is come together to help you sharpen your tools so that you can be a better witness for the Lord and work with your brothers and sisters and let the devil know that we are one. So I'm looking to see you here in the main auditorium of the Bethel Deliverance Church on Saturday, June the 9th, 2018, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be delighted to see you there, and let's come in expecting God to make us one and then turn us loose in this world and show the devil that Jesus is still Lord. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you at the making of a minister.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
What does it take to make us hungry for Christ? The warfare is designed to mess up your relationship. It's designed to infiltrate ministry with people who don't have a calling but a desire. The warfare, I'm told to prepare you for war. This lousy, stinking rascal called Satan, he comes at us with foolishness. Paul continues to the church at Colossae in verse 20 of chapter 2. Wherefore, if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are you subject to its ordinances? Why do you feel the burden at Christmas time? Why do you feel the need to buy new clothes for Resurrection Day? Why do you feel the need, listen to this now, to celebrate your birthday? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, why do you feel the need to do it? Listen to what he says. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. And that means I'm worshiping my own will. I'm telling God what he should do. I'm not going to lift my hands and praise you. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stand here and not say a word. I'm not reading this Bible. I'm only going to open it on Sunday. And you better like it. You better take it, because I ain't doing no better. I ain't praying. Why should I pray? And you better accept it, and you better wake me up tomorrow morning, because I made plans, and I don't want to hear it. You're going to do what I say, dude, because I gave my tithe, so you better bless me. And if I don't like what your set man is saying, I'll go someplace else, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And this is what Paul is addressing, the warfare that we are leading up to dress for in Ephesians 6. This is the reason why Paul says put on a helmet. Why? Because the enemy is coming at your thought processes. He's messing with your mind. He's telling you you can do anything you want, and you don't have to listen to anybody. You can come and go as you please. You are not under any authority. You can just be whatever you want to be, and nobody can tell you who you have to like. So you can walk around with bitterness, and let me tell you something. Jesus says something in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. He said, listen, he said, if you have the faith of God, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to move, and the mountain's going to move. He says, and then he goes on to say, you will have whatever you say. Watch. Then he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. For if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. Now listen carefully. See, this is another form of warfare. The devil will let you have bitterness towards people because of something they said or did. Now watch this. When you have bitterness towards someone and you don't release it, it is impossible for you to love somebody else. You cannot love somebody else while you're holding on to bitterness. That's why God says, let everybody go. He wasn't saying let them go for them. He was saying let them go for us. Because I cannot love my people. I cannot love you if I'm angry with the man down the street. Because no house can bring forth both bitter and sweet water. If I'm going to walk in bitterness, then you're going to get bitterness to you. And you haven't done anything. That's why you will find people that are just angry with you. It's not because you've done anything. It's someone in here that they have locked up. That's warfare. See, we're running around looking for demons behind the columns and looking for people to roll on the floor and slime coming out their mouth. But if you've been paying attention over the past 20 years, you don't see much of that exorcism anymore because the devil said, y'all stop this now. Okay, you had your day. Stop it. Here's what I need you all to do. I need you all to stop rolling on the floor and start being deacons and preachers. I need you to start wrapping yourself up in a form of godliness, but bring your bitterness with you. Bring your gossip with you. Bring your hateful hearts. Bring your judgmental spirit with you. Because the Spirit of God will not have you go around, pick out wrong things in people unless you're perfect. He said, first deal with the thing that's in you before you look at somebody else. Therefore, we cannot judge anybody because we are imperfect. Warfare. See, we're looking for demons. And yes, you know, in the course of your Christian life, if you have really walked with God, you will encounter the satanic. You will. It's just part of the course. If you have not encountered him, you will. And he will manifest himself for what he truly is. Satan's not playing with us. He's going to try to kill you. Now, he can't take your soul, but he can mess up your life. And right now, we dance around the fringes of Satanism. We watch his television shows. We listen to his music. We go to his places. We talk his talk. But one day, he's going to come a-knocking, and he's going to say, you gave me a doorway into your life, and I want what's mine. I want your mind. You have read my books. You have looked at my pornography. You have gone on the internet, and you didn't know that those things were going into your soul, not your spirit, but in your soul, and polluting and perverting your soul, and now I've come to take what's mine. And so I'm going to give you a gift called a lust spirit. And a lust spirit, when he has access, he lodges in the sex organs. And that's what makes you insatiable. You can never be satisfied because that lust spirit cannot be satisfied. But it doesn't come through outside hocus pocus. It comes through watching certain things and listening to certain things. And when he weakens you, when he weakens you sufficiently, he comes in for the kill. You remember that scene in Spartacus where he was being trained to be a gladiator and the man came over with those paint brushes and he said, this is a cripple. He said, this is a slow kill. He said, this is an instant kill. He said, go for the instant kill right away. But if you can't, go for the cripple and that'll wear him down till you go for the slow kill. And then you go for the final thrust. Satan knows because you are saved, he can't go for the instant kill. So he wears you down with philosophy, with doctrine, with dogma, with individual hatred, with a sense of being unsatisfied, with never being content. He will bring you to ministerial heights that God has not called you to. He tried it with Jesus. Come on and worship me and I'll give you all this. What makes you think he won't do the same with us? He continues to push us where God has not called us. Watch this. Someone said to me, they said, oh my God, your church and all the ministries that God has you giving leadership to, said, I don't know how you do it. You know what I tell them? I said, because I'm graced for it. They said, you don't look overwhelmed. You don't look, you know, like it's getting to you. It's not, because I'm graced for it. You see, when you're not graced for it, then you find yourself, oh, I tell you, I don't know how I'm going to keep up. They're just so miserable. And people say to me all the time, I know you're busy. No, I ain't busy. My staff is busy. I'm not busy. I'm sitting there writing, putting out devotionals, sharing the word of God. I'm not busy. God is busy. When you're graced for it, there's no battle. There's no battle. There's no warfare when you're graced for it. One woman can have 15 children, and when she goes shopping, they walk in a line like Marines. Another one can have one, and she got to have a rope on him, a helmet, knee pads, because she's not graced for more than one. Too many of us are reaching beyond our gifting. And what's happening? The warfare. Paul tells Timothy something that is highly, highly significant. He says the people that are of God's army are not caught up in this war, in this worldly stuff. You can't serve God and chase dollars. Something's going to have to give. Paul even goes on to tell Timothy, he says, look here, he said, those that will be rich will fall into a snare, and they don't even see it happening. They don't even see that God is no longer opening ministerial doors for you, because you're so caught up in the making of money, you don't even see that ministry opportunities are gone. You made a conscious shift from chasing the heart of God to chasing dollars. And God says, since you chose that, I'm shutting this off. How can someone say that God called them to ministry and doesn't open a door for them to do it? They have to go around trying doors, but nothing's opening. So in other words, the God who called you doesn't want to use you. That doesn't make sense. Maybe he really didn't call. This warfare is so serious, beloved, that we don't even know what's happening. We have been lulled to sleep, chasing what does not belong to us. My prayer is, God, don't give me anything that's not mine. I don't want it. I do not want it. Just keep it from me. My philosophy has changed so much over the past 5 years that I told God, I said, look, I believe you are sovereign. And I am so convinced of that right now that I don't even ask for stuff anymore. I don't even ask. I say a sovereign God knows what I need. And I've just learned to be content with what I have.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.